What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Reclaim Your Voice podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the unseen, unheard, and underrepresented. I'm your host, Leslie Liu, trauma-informed self-defense coach, international best-selling author and speaker, and founder of Reclaiming Your Courage. Each episode is an unfiltered celebration of speaking from the heart, having fun, and celebrating the diversity of thought and stories from traditionally marginalized folks.
Man, it's been a trip to go from not fucking knowing anything about putting a podcast together to saying I was going to do one and to launch one and to really be 19 episodes deep, y'all. And so for those who have followed and listened to one episode, if not all the episodes, I just want to wholeheartedly thank you. I started a podcast not because I thought I was going to be fucking an influencer or Insta famous. It really was to hone in on the voices of the marginalized and to talk about things that usually get swept under the rug, like stuff that I would want to hear, like the juicy stuff. I wanted you to feel like we're kicking it in the living room on beanbag chairs, listening to slow jams type of vibe, right? And so I'm just reflecting back that it's been incredibly fun. And as long as it remains fun and doesn't feel like work, I'ma keep fucking going. And it also dawned on me that I have very much made it about the people that I wanted to highlight to amplify those voices. And when I thought about doing some episodes by myself, I'm like, well, that's weird. I don't know if people want to hear me talking standalone. And that's a fallacy, y'all. And that's self-sabotage and that's trauma speaking. Because the fact of the matter is that I have a lot of things on my mind and my heart that I want to be able to share with you. And that's why I have a business. That's why I have a blog. That's why I have a podcast, so I can have the freedom to not be prim and proper about the things that really make my blood boil, the things that I know plague so many people, but they aren't given a platform to speak upon it. So I feel incredibly grateful and I'ma just fucking keep going. Something that I want to talk about is why I even do the work that I do. Perhaps the origin story, if you wanna say it like that. When it comes to my approach to self-defense and why I feel it's really important to do that in a trauma-informed lens. People have a certain pathway when it comes to learning to defend themselves. So you can be at the center of a crossroads where you can go to McDojo. McDojo is your local neighborhood gym, right? Usually run by a man. And they have great programs, right? And in that traditional model, they instill a lot of confidence and structure and positive reinforcement. And that works for some people, but it doesn't work for all. And the other scenario is that you've been in that environment and someone has probably yelled at you somewhere along the way to just do the move, not really making room for the fact that maybe you have gone through something significant or trauma that's preventing you from physically carrying out the move, or you might be neurodivergent and so they gotta change their approach. Or maybe you feel really uncomfortable with the way in which the instructor was touching you and didn't ask you for consent. I've got a lot of clients that I had worked with who were in transition, had recently had top surgery, and they're like, "It, you know, you're the first instructor that ever asked me for consent around touch. And in a traditional model, there's really not any room for discussion. It's like, this is my way, and this is the way that I'm going to do it, and this is what we're going to learn today. And for a lot of people, like I said, it works. I come from that, right? For 20 years of being a martial artist, right? I was bullied as a kid. And so my mom stuck me in Taekwondo camp, and I hated it just because it was so structured and so Korean. Like I would get whooped with a ruler and stuff like that. But, you know, there was a point in my life where I didn't have martial arts in my life, and went through a very, very deep depression. And something always called me back to it. And my life forever changed when I was at Evolve Training Center in South San Francisco. And I was part of their Unleash Your Inner Warrior Women's Self-Defense Workshop. It was a 6-week program. And up until that point, throughout my life, I had been really accustomed to stand-up fighting. So the thought of being on my back is so fucking vulnerable and so fucking scary. And so the thought of being on my back, shrimping, having someone mounted on top of me, it brought up a lot of trauma for me. And I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it at the time. So I really just started taking note and chronicling my own process, as well as learning about, you know, intergenerational trauma, the effects on the brain, on the body, on the nervous system and whatnot. And so I had really great instructors during that time to really teach me, you know, jujitsu principles and how to use leverage over strength and things I never thought were possible. Like to get a guy that's like 200 plus pounds off of me after wrist pinning me is the most empowering thing. But there were so many times that I froze and I wanted to cry, and the environment I was in, there just wasn't any space to talk about what was going on. It was just like, do it. Why aren't you doing it? And usually in that those kinds of environments, it's about like just drilling the technique, right? And it's almost like kind of putting pressure on you as if you're not sharp enough or if you're not understanding something properly. But it's like, no, my brain doesn't process that way. And so that started the journey. And I got so excited about it that I partnered with other ladies at the time to create the Fearless Movement, where we taught, you know, women's self-defense virtually and in person, you know, once the pandemic hit. And that's when I got so much reinforcement and encouragement from my co-creators about, you know, this piece around you're really good at helping people use their voice to ward off the attacker. And with another colleague that I was working with, like she really introduced me to this idea of a wild woman and the power of mindset. And so when we were working with these women during the pandemic, and I would see them visibly freeze and really not carry out the techniques, I spent a couple of years really testing out and talking to people to help them feel safe before doing anything related to technique. So when I saw someone was stressed, I would stand alongside them and say, like, what's really going on right now? Whose voice are you hearing? And once I started asking those questions, you guys, like, it opened up a whole world of inner critic, self-dialogue that people were telling me, things that their mothers had said to them their entire life, things attached to their self-worth, them being able to talk to me about things that were happening in the workplace, right? The ways that there were microaggressions, things that had nothing to do with being physically attacked. And there were other instances in which, yes, they were part of domestic violence disputes, but there was so much power in holding space for these women and making things safe for them. And for the ones that felt uncoordinated, like, I'm not athletic at all, so I rather just surrender and let someone attack me and carry it out. I'll be okay. And I'm like, no, you won't be okay. And so I spent years kind of doing that and really kind of thinking about my own process of really being teleported back to my sexual assault when I was 11 years old. And up until that point, I never even shared that with anyone, never even shared that with my own family, had been in therapy for years. And it wasn't until I was in that vulnerable position of having someone mounted on top of me during self-defense class where I had to confront that trauma and worked with so many people during the pandemic. You know, I worked with a somatic grounding teacher to start working on a memoir. I started finding different healing modalities, really started focusing on somatic breathing, worked with a Korean American woman who is a writer as well, who taught yoga, who taught me about mindfulness. And so I realized that the way I wanted to approach things was not the traditional way. And that even in the traditional gym environment, that works well for people, that there was a whole group of people that got ousted and essentially were the misfits of the dojo because they were not the most athletic ones, the CrossFitty ones. They were neurodivergent. So folks were not necessarily trained on how to really manage that. There was a lot of compassion, of course, and patience. But dealing with trauma survivors was a big thing. And so what I realized is that when you put too much pressure on people to just do the physical thing, that they end up leaving the gym because they're like, this isn't the place for me. I don't want this environment. I don't want the drill sergeant vibe. And there is no safe space for me. And I think that three things birthed after I had my children. When it came to what kept me up in the middle of the night, and a big part of that was what was happening with the Stop Asian Hate movement in terms of the increase of attacks. And so I was like, I have to figure out a structure and a way to ground myself through really stressful times, because I'm an Asian woman. And so getting out of the house every day, it's fucking terrifying, especially in the Bay Area where it's no holds bar Gotham City, no joke. And if you're in the Bay Area, you know that reality is that no one's going to come to help you. Every day there's such an outpouring of violence because there's no repercussions for these crimes. And so just by existing, I have the potential to get harmed. So I'm like, I've got to think quick, starting my business, Reclaim Your Courage. I want to teach the way that I want to teach. And it took me a long time to even find those words of like, this is what I want to do. And can I do it alone? So the three key principles I felt differentiated this work was around identity, consent, and co-creation. Identity is a big piece of the intersection between how potential attackers perceive you. And when I say attackers, that is people on the street, that is coworkers, sometimes that's loved ones. So as your coach, like, I want to know, who are you? What do you stand for? Who do you fight for? Because that matters. To give people space to talk about their cultural identity, how they identify in terms of, you know, are they part of the queer community? That is important, to hold space, to allow people to feel safe in any environment that they're in. And so really starting with that yielded so much more safety and deeper conversations and community building. Second, consent. So instead of me being that person in front of the classroom, you know, in each of the spaces I walked in, I was always keen on asking, well, do you have a comfort level with me demonstrating on you right now by grabbing you by the wrist? Or would you prefer that I demonstrate on someone else? And just by giving someone that choice, you could see the weight lifted off of their shoulders. Like, I've never been asked that. And when I started working with young people in high school, they're like, they would share stories with me of how many times they had been touched on the lower back or in places that just felt so uncomfortable, which ruined the whole experience for them. So that was another piece of always asking, like, is this okay? Like, you know, do you need a minute? Lastly, co-creating, getting buy-in from the clients and really saying, like, here's where we're at right now. We've got a flow. Do you want to continue this flow? Or do you want to move on to this? And giving people options and giving them control over the time and how to really maximize it, right? Because I could have a laundry list of 20 techniques to learn for the day. But if they're really vibing on the two that they'll forever remember, I'd rather stay there. And so co-creation is such a big piece of the work that I do with clients because they're part of it. They feel empowered. And I always say, like, yeah, you know, I have an offer. Here's what I'm offering. It's yes, no, or negotiable, right? And so when people were actively participating, that created better outcomes. And what I mean by that is, instead of having the woman on her back with the guy mounted on top of her in a self-defense class, and she's bawling her eyes out and frozen, that helping people use their mind, their body, and their voice, and building a safe space and building community with them and helping them with their boundary statements and helping them around the self-worthy piece, that the chemistry changed. So the women no longer felt trapped and stuck. They literally were a bat out of hell and fucking tossed these people off of them in a matter of seconds. And to me, that's where I felt like this is something, because when you create safe spaces for people and you share stories, that's how you help people build confidence. You don't help people build confidence by flossing what you can do and how many boards you can break or what techniques you can do. You build confidence with people about meeting them where they're at. And when they say, hey, I have ADHD and I just can't process this right now, it's you being able to go to them and say, we're going to get to the end goal. We're just going to get there a different way. And changing it and mixing it up for them is so valuable, to have compassion for people and not force feeding them shit. So that's my thought for today, and I hope that you enjoyed it. And I am going to continue to share these micro bites with you. because it's just also just very therapeutic for me. And again, I want to thank you, because being part of a podcast and something that I have ownership over has been incredibly humbling for me. And it's about who I become in this process of interviewing people. But I also know that part of my becoming is doing these solo episodes. So I am looking forward to doing more. I love y'all, and I will talk to you soon.
If you are liking what you're hearing on this podcast and you are craving more connection, I'm personally inviting you into my Woman Warrior community. This is a community where all women are welcomed. We will be silenced no more. And this is a space for you to explore what it means to find your voice, build genuine connections with others who aren't trying to fake the funk, if you want to embrace who you are and stand in your power, to learn how to make personal safety practical and simple, and simply to just continuing to hear diverse voices. See you there.